Well, I want to switch gears a little bit, David, and ask you about some of your, you had to brag on yourself a little bit. Some of your biggest winners and what do you think made them work? Whether it was the headline or just the kind of the idea behind it or timing, or I think a lot of people underestimate timing too. That's a whole nother topic.
Yeah, sure. I mean, especially in investing type stuff, right? Which is so dependent on what's going on in the market.
Yeah. I think, when I worked at Stansberry with Mike Palmer, I think that was one of the things he was so good at was timing. Just like he had a finger on the pulse of the market, like the market sentiment, I guess. And his promotions always just seemed to come out perfect timing. It was pretty amazing. Yeah, let's talk about some of your.
You've almost got to anticipate timing 3 months down the road when the promotion comes out.
Yes, especially financial. That's a tough. That's because it can go backwards on you real quick.
Right.
You know, one day it ruins your whole 8 weeks of writing and research. So tell us about some of your top two or three winners and kind of what you learned from those. And then we'll talk a little bit about your course coming out and any other stuff you want to talk about.
Sure. You know, one of my first successes was for a book on estate planning. And I really, from that, I learned that you could make anything interesting, right? If you try hard enough. And I always remember one bullet there was this long involved thing in the book about how if you didn't do such and such in a certain way, there was a chance that you could disqualify certain beneficiaries, you know? And I thought, well, how can I make that interesting, turn it into a bullet? And I turned it into how to avoid accidentally disinheriting your grandchildren. And, you know, to me, that just exemplifies everything about copywriting. Where you have to take some angle of something, right? So it's not beneficiaries. Let's make it grandchildren that you could accidentally disinherit. It's not like how this particular thing could do it, right? But it's just how to avoid accidentally doing it because you don't have this, right? So it's just in the wording and the phrasing and the how you shed light on something. And it was, you know, all of it was like that. And then how to take something which is like when you die, your heirs don't have to pay taxes, and how to make it more current to you, right? Mm-hmm. How to make that benefits now for you. So benefits now included things like when I really dug more, included things like tax savings, that there were certain things you could do that would not only help your beneficiaries, but would save you money on taxes now. And also just the feeling that you get knowing that your money is safe, that the government's not going to swoop in when you die and take everything away. And so I dug up some real horror stories about people who, after they were gone, their businesses were confiscated. Because that bill is due, right? If you have a business worth $10 million and you die, your heirs, unless you set it up right, your heirs are on the hook for like $10 million if they inherit your business. So you've got to, grossly oversimplifying. But then the government is like, where's our $10 million? The heirs are like, we don't have $10 million. We only have this factory. And, you know, so there were a couple of stories like that really gave you pause and said, yeah, this stuff is important to do now.
I think John Wayne went through that. His family went through that, right? He had a huge estate and they couldn't do anything with it. Yeah.
Common thing. Christopher Reeves, I think, because disability, and then there were all sorts of problems, and some senator had the problem, so that enabled me to say, and even a United States senator was not immune to the, you know, so that was powerful.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, because then it brings in, like, if somebody in the government doesn't know about it, then, you know, it could happen to anybody, right? Because
And it's again, it's always that, how do I up the wattage on this?
Yeah.
Right? How do I make this more dramatic, more interesting, more powerful, drive it home more? Like that twisting of the knife that John Carl May talks about in Bullets, and right?
So let's say on that particular package, what would you say if you were to just kind of think back and guess and estimate, was the amount of time you spent thinking, copy thinking and researching versus copywriting?
Well, for something like that, it's a lot of back and forth, right? It's a lot of reading the book and thinking and then going back to the page and then looking at the book again and going back to the page. But I'd say it's about half and half.
Okay.
That coming up with the headline for that, that was something that Jim Rutz helped me with, who was someone that I kind of apprenticed under early on in writing, writing for publishers.
Yeah.
And he helped me come up with the headline, which was, at the time it was probably a little less, politically correct, but it was something like, what every wife wishes her husband knew about estate planning, but the IRS hopes you never ask.
Yeah.
I think in later iterations, it was changed to spouse or partner or something like that. I forget how we, kind of modernized that a little bit, because it lasted for like 10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the culture changed, and then finally the tax laws changed. And so that was the death knell, as it were.
Yeah, that will kill a lot of stuff for sure. When the IRS, you probably helped do that because you made that popular. So you probably helped the law get passed. This guy's selling too much stuff.
Yeah, damn David Deutsch and his copy. They're costing us. He's costing us billions of dollars in tax revenues. We got to change the laws.
Exactly. It's probably your fault. You should add that to your bio. Cause the government to change tax laws. Copy so persuasive.
That's good.
Yeah, that is good.
Tax laws change. It reminds me of some Ted Nicholas stuff when he did the tax, the corporation, that kind of stuff. When same thing is right. That's a very boring. Nobody wants to really talk about taxes and setting up a corporation. He made it sound sexy and cool and like it was the best thing ever, kind of same stuff. And I think that's the fun stuff to write, because it forces you to do the research because there's no like obvious benefit. Right. There's nothing obviously sexy that you can get behind. So you have to get into the research and I agree with you. Like that's the fun part to me. Like I could just do the research and then just like hand it to somebody else and let them write a draft. And then I would come back and tweak it a little bit. But I love how you said that one bullet, like every single word accidentally, you chose grandchildren over children, I'm sure, because there's more emotion with grandchildren than children. Like there's a lot of things happening there.
Right. And then that's better than heirs. And heirs is better than beneficiaries, which is really cold.
Yeah.
I think as a writer, people have to be sensitive to the different reverberations of words like that.
Mm-hmm.
Nuances.
Mm-hmm.
Different. That's why one of the things I've always loved is that that they call them Russell conjugates. And it's that declension of that declension of from I forget what the classic example is, but it's like he's fat, you're overweight, and I'm pleasingly plump or whatever, right? It's like that declension from he's a tax cheat. You're you try to pay as little taxes as possible, and I optimize my finances in order to, maximize my cash flow and the amount of money that kind of thing. But, you know, like, he's a terrorist, you're a whatever, I'm a freedom fighter.
Yep.
Right. And to be sensitive, you know, it's a great way to be. And they call it a Russell conjugate because it's a conjugation. And because it, Bernard Russell was the first guy that kind of pointed out that kind of way of that little thing. But that's the kind of sensitivity a good copywriter has. It's like, yeah, but is this the best word? Mm-hmm. Is there something that's a little more bad? Or is there something that's a little more good, you know, if I want to make it?
Yeah, depending on which side you're playing, if it's, you know, us versus them, or, you know, play into their belief systems and all that kind of stuff. That's a great example of just human nature, right? Like,
oh, absolutely.
We're going to see this about them, but when it's us, it's, you know, we're just doing the thing that's best for us. So give us one more example of a kind of your favorite, one of your favorite promotions. I know you've done hundreds, $1 billion worth. So, what's another one of your favorites?
I keep thinking of Russell. Now you've got me thinking of Russell conjugate. and another one is, you know, your price gouging. I'm maximizing revenue according to market conditions.
Yeah. I like that.
But, you know, another one that I had a lot of fun with and I really enjoyed and learned from too is, I did a couple of promotions on, household hints kind of things.
Okay. Yeah. Is that a boardroom or?
Yeah. Yeah. For boardroom. And I have to give Jim Punkry a lot of credit for he gave me a good education in doing household hints promotions because he had done them for Rodale for such a long time. And, you know, just to be able to take a bunch of things like getting stains out of carpets with shaving cream, right? And make it interesting and make it enough variety to fill a promotion and tease it and make it different enough. Was a very interesting challenge. And, you know, some of it was just kind of like grouping it. Like some of it was just like crazy household hints, right? That was just like, you know, had a, you know, cure arthritis with aluminum foil or just stuff that really sounded bizarre, right?
Right.
And then some of it was to take one item like shaving cream and list all the things you could do with it.
Mm, yeah.
Not list, but, you know, it was kind of like, I think I had a, like, household, you know, I forget what it was, but it was like, you know, award, Same. Like number one, you know, shaving cream.
Yeah.
A hall of honor. What do you call that? Not a hall of honor, but like just an honor roll of household. There's one of them shaving. Okay. Cream, you do a lot with that. Vinegar is another thing you can do a lot.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah. So you might like say seven surprising or little known things you can do with, you know, shaving cream.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
household, Hall of Fame, right?
Hall of Fame. Those kind of things are really fun because I think that lets out a little bit more creativity.
Yes.
You know, it's in, you're trying to disguise it, but I found myself before doing a promotion where I've gone through a book and I'm trying to do these fascination bullets. And then I'll go back and most of them are just pretty good. But then every once in a while, one's so good, I'm like, I don't even know where that came from. Like, I can't even find it back in the book again because it was transformed the book so much. It's like, I learned pretty quick, you better footnote exactly where you got that every time or legal department's not going to allow it. So,
yeah, you learn that quick when you have to go digging through 800 pages of a book to find the source that you. You don't want to give up that bullet.
Yeah, because that could be the one. I mean, I can't tell you how many things I know Jonathan has too. Like how many things we bought off of one bullet that's just like,
oh yeah,
that's it. Buying because of that one bullet, especially for Jonathan in the golf market. Like you get the right bullet, he's done. So,
I purchased off an ad this week. Whipped it out $200 easily.
There you go.
Simple ad too. Just one bullet point.
Yeah, for sure.
I didn't have to read the whole ad.
Yeah, you just scanned it and saw that bullet and you were like, I'm done.
Yeah, one bullet will sell a book sometimes.
Absolutely.
Gotta know. Absolutely.
I can tell you the one bullet that did it too. I'll pull it up here. Bullet. It's discover a simple trick developed by the man who Vijay Singh, if you don't know professional golf, you may not know Vijay Singh, but Vijay Singh calls the best golfer he had ever seen. Right? A simple trick developed by this guy who...
There's like no actual information in that bullet and you still bought. That's awesome.
Right. That's right. Zip. I mean, keyword was simple trick because it's all about developing a different swing motion. So,
and Vijay Singh, I mean, he's known to have a beautiful swing.
Right.
Yep. So if you really know golf.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, if you associate Vijay Singh saying that he's this guy's the best golfer he's ever seen, then you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
So it's like you go straight to the order and then you just click and then you get hit by 3 upsells and then you're, $250 later, that's not huge, but still they're still upselling after that though. You just don't know it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now you're on the list.
Yeah.
Now you're on the catalog list and everything else. Well, David, we're running short on time. So I want to give you the opportunity to kind of tell people what you're up to next. I think I saw either book and a course or both.
Yeah. A couple of things. One is I've got a course that came out, A-List Copywriting Secrets. And there's a couple of ways people can find out about this. They can go to my website, which is davidldeutsch.com. Can I type that in comments or type it in here? Something? I don't know how this thing that we're on works. But
yeah, I'll get it to...
Yeah, we'll be posting it when we post this episode.
We'll post it on the show notes on the actual podcast page.
Okay. But it's davidldeutsch.com. That's David L, like Lee, and then DEUTSCH.com. And there's a free report there that they can sign up for. The course, they can go to davidldeutsch.com/video. And if they also do that, there's a video there where they can actually get like a free little mini lesson from the course on how to come up with great ideas.
Yeah,
very cool.
DavidLDeutsch.com video.
All right, I'll be checking that.
A lot of good resources on there. You've got a great blog. I noticed I stumbled across on your blog a link to a report that you did with Ray Edwards. Really good.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Hopefully the link still works.
It does.
I think Ray's here in Austin and we need to get him on the show too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is he? I know. I thought he lived in Washington, but he may have moved from there.
Maybe it's somebody else I'm thinking of.
Everybody's in Austin now.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he's in Texas. I don't know about Austin, but I'm pretty sure he's in Texas.
And is that where you are, Sean? No.
Yeah, I moved here about 2 years ago, so I was just ahead of the big wave. Now we're like, real estate went up 24% in the last 12 months.
Wow.
It's just crazy. Like, we heard a story last week that there was like 17 offers on a house. The house was listed at 375. It ended up selling for 460, but the thing that clinched the offer is the buyer offered to buy the next house for the person as well. They bought their house and bought them the next house. Like, wouldn't you just buy a bigger, nicer house or something? I don't know. I didn't get that one, but that's what happened. Must have been a great lot or something.
Wow.
Great location, something that they wanted really bad. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's amazing how many people are moving here. Luckily, we're getting rain because one of my fears in Texas is we run out of water when too many people come.
Right.
Because it is still pretty dry climate, but we've had nothing but rain for the last month, so... Lakes are filling up. We'll be okay. Well, I'm going to go check out the course for sure. David, this has been really fun. And
thank you, David.
Any last words you want to leave with the audience?
Enjoyed this too. No, just, keep writing. A lot of success in writing, I think, just comes from writing a lot.
And probably reading too, right?
Showing it to people. Yeah, but it's easy to read and it's hard to write.
Yeah.
And people don't realize, right? Good, bad, just getting words on paper.
Mm-hmm. And sharing it. I think sharing it's a big part too.
And sharing is a big part of that, right?
Find a group of people that you can, you know, even if it's virtually, you can send Google Docs back and forth so easy now. It's amazing. And, you know, ask somebody to comment on them. And if you can find a copy buddy, even if you can't find a copy chief, if you can find a copy buddy, you know, that knows a little bit about copy, it's going to make you better for sure.
Yeah. And let them tell you where it's boring, where it's interesting, where it's, you know, they can't understand it.
Yeah. Good old Cuba method.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, all right. Well, this has been fun. Jonathan, I'm going to let you take us out.
David, appreciate you coming on today. Thanks so much.
Okay.
We'll send you a link over. We'll share that with you. Probably break this up into a couple of episodes since we went about an hour and 15 minutes, but it was well worth it. Thanks for coming on and sharing some insight. I'll be posting a link over to your website as well. I've got that pulled up in front of me. So thanks so much.
Well, thank you guys. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Enjoy the weekend. To all of our listeners out there, thanks for joining us again. You can find us on persuasionbythepint.com. You can find us on all of your podcast channels. See you all next time.